Welcome, and I'm again happy that you tuned into God's Word Life Source Ministries podcast at godsword.eprn.us. The scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and verse 14. God's word reads as follows. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. May the Lord add blessings to the reading and to the hearing of his word. Amen. The sermonic selection is entitled Joy to the World by Pentatonix.
Joy to the world, joy to the world, oh.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let it receive the King. Let every heart be bent in Rome, and heaven and nature sing.
Wonders of his
joy
love.
To the world, that we
Joy to the world.
Has been read previously. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bring glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Gospels speak in different ways about Jesus' birth. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we read about the genealogy of Joseph. Matthew was interested in the legal and the Jewish aspects of Jesus' birth. Apparently, Luke had many conversations with Mary and others because he tells of the visit of the angelic choir. He talks about the manger and lists the genealogy of Jesus on Mary's side. Mark never mentions the birth of Jesus. However, he does tell about Jesus' miraculous deeds. John writes in his gospel from an entirely different perspective than the other three. He was the youngest of the apostles. He wrote his gospel, his three epistles, and Revelation when he was an old man. He did not give a chronological view of Jesus' life, but he reflected on Jesus' life relative to what happened to him. It is not at all appropriate to simply say that John wrote philosophically about Jesus, but rather it is appropriate to say that John was more interested in Jesus religiously than historically. John was saying, let me tell you what happened to me because I know Jesus. Listeners, how many of us today have a testimony that we can give because we know Jesus? When John called Jesus the Word, many believe he brought a new dimension to Christian theology. They say that John tried to unite an African philosophy and Christianity. I'm not so sure that John even knew what the philosophers of Alexandria were saying because John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying, I want to tell you about what I experienced from God. I want to tell you about the Word, the Logos of God, one whose name is Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Even before Bethlehem, the Word existed because God is the Word. John believed that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, there is no reason for Christian theology if Jesus is not the Son of God. The word denotes authority because there must be a basis for Jesus' authority. So why would John call Jesus the Word? John called Jesus the Word because he thought of God as absolute authority. He thought of God as the source of every existing thing. So he says, in the beginning was the Word. Thus, God has always existed. John said, the Word was with God. The Word was God. He is calling Jesus the Word. And he is saying, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. You see, John had a Trinitarian concept of God. He writes about the awesomeness of God through Jesus Christ. He is saying there is one God, and while there is one God, Jesus, the Word, is with God. He goes on to say the Spirit is with God, and He is God. John could see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as one entity, thus the Holy Trinity. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Therefore, God, this God, who is Christ, is the source of all things. All things were indeed made by Him. Our environment was made by Him. Our lives were made by Him. In fact, without Him, nothing was made. In short, He made everything. Nothing is possible in life without God. Without God, people can create nothing. Without Jesus, people can accomplish nothing. John goes on to tell us that God is the source of life because life comes from God. Every activity of life comes from God. Without Him was nothing, or was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's very important for us today that we understand that God did not come to the world as theory. His coming to the world was real. But for some reason, people have always tried to explain the source of life in some natural way. Some people explain life as coming from the sun. They explain life from fire. They explain life as a form or a process of evolution, such as that according to Darwin. There are some people who actually admit they don't understand life. That may be so, but they do know that there must be a source. Tradition says that John ministered in the city of Ephesus, the ancient city built around the worship of Diana of the Ephesians. Diana is a form of the ancient Greek god Aphrodite. The Ephesians believed that this very unusual statue they had of Diana had been dropped out of heaven. There stood this gigantic stone statue of virgin goddess, and a whole state bowed around her and acclaimed her to be God. But she was dead, only a stone and nothing else. God sent His Son, and He is alive. The life, as John refers to it, is the source of light for humanity. John, listen to John's words. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What is the darkness? It is the darkness of our sin. What is the darkness? It is the darkness of the despair in our lives. And God says that even the darkness of sin and death cannot hold back the light. So in opposition to God, the world says, we will snuff out the light. Light of Jesus, it must not shine. Then God turns around and says to the world, the darkness cannot hold back the light of the living Son of God. So don't attempt to hold back the light, because light comes to our souls to change us. Light comes to our souls to make us new creatures. And this light comes from Jesus. John says, and the world was made, and the word in the world was made flesh. John 1:14. From today's text, we understand that the word was in the beginning, the word was God, and the word became flesh. God came in the flesh in the manger in Bethlehem. It was God in the flesh who walked the streets of Nazareth. It was God in the flesh who touched blind eyes and deaf ears and made them see and hear. It was God in the flesh who taught by the shore of Galilee. It was God in the flesh who touched the legs of the lame and made them walk. It was God in the flesh who faced controversy at Jerusalem with the religious powers. It was God in the flesh on the cross of Calvary, and it was God in the flesh who rose from the dead. And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Many people claim that Jesus is not the Son of God, saying that he is an example to be followed, but nothing more. How wrong they are. He is not just an example. Any person can be an example. We see Jesus, the glory of the Father. We see him full of grace, full of unmerited favor. He is full of truth. We see him, the Son of God, willing to die for us, though we are sinners. We see him paying the price of our sins on Calvary's cross, though we do not deserve it. And when we dig down and read a little further in John, we can see that John testified that the glory of Christ is available to all, not to some, but the glory of Christ is available to all, every man, every woman, every child, everybody of humankind. He told about his personal experience with Jesus as the Word of Life. He testified that he had seen Jesus with his own eyes, and he touched him with his own hands. He is talking about the Christian experience. He is talking about the personal experience with Jesus. He is saying Christ was born. Christ came to the world, and he became the ultimate sacrifice for sin. But more importantly, he is saying Christ came to me. I saw him, I touched him, and he changed my life. This is what Christmas means. It's not just a beautiful story, not just a nativity scene. It's not a star in the sky, and certainly not the one on top of your Christmas tree. Christmas is Christ living in you. Why has God touched my life? John asked. Then he turned around and answers himself, to change it, he answered. But listen, there's even more. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. With that, John raises the Christian experience entirely out of the realm of theory and places it in the realm of practice. In the beginning was the Word. Is that all? Does the story end with the star and the angels and shepherds and wise men? No, this is not all. There is more. Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. Well, now, is that all? No. Jesus is alive, and he came to us, and he comes to us one by one to call us to everlasting life and to fellowship with him. Therefore, the Christmas story is Jesus is alive, and Jesus is alive in you. Is he there? Has the star shone on your soul? The wise men followed it to Bethlehem. Wise men today, come to the Christ and believe in him. Let the listeners say amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that if your light has not shone on our soul, please let it do so. We want to be able to testify that we know you personally. We want to have a personal relationship with you. We want to witness to others that we have everlasting life with you. These and all blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The closing song is entitled, Come, O Come, Emmanuel, featuring Naomi Rain and Nate Moore by Maverick City Music.
Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile until the Son of God appears.
It's a great feeling seeing your Chime app notification on your mobile device. When you receive direct deposits in your Chime account, you're in total control of your finances. It's banking without the fees. Sign up with my referral link and you and I receive $50.
What?
That's right. You and I receive a referral bonus of $50 after sign-up and direct deposit activation. Use referral link chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. That's chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. It's that simple and it's free. It only takes about 2 to 3 minutes to complete, and you'll be on your way to being in total control of your finances. You'll start building a positive reflection of your credit history, and that will really make a difference. Referring friends and family to the Chime family is one of the most financially rewarding experiences anyone could have. Sign up today, chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.